Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Arizona Fellowship here, the Fisherman Ministry, our Sunday morning service. Thank you all for joining us today.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come. Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship. Oh, come. Just as you are before your God. Come. Gonna do. Word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. Word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Delight yourselves in the Lord. Delight yourselves in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. So praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. Word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The rock miracle salvation that cannot be moved. Proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like us. There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. Rock of salvation that cannot be moved. Proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like us. Rock of ages. Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages. Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages. Jesus is the rock. There is no rock. There is no God like us. There is no rock. There is no God like us. There is no rock. There is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. A rock of salvation that cannot be moved. Proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock. There is no God like us. Rock of ages. Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages. Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages. Jesus is the rock. There is no rock. There is no God like us. Rock of ages. Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages. Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages. Jesus is the rock. There is no rock. There is no God like us. There is no rock. There is no God like us. There is no rock. There is no God like us. My glory, the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory, the lifter of my head. Thou, my glory, the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory, the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory, the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory, the lifter of my head. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary.
What's interesting about that song as I was singing it, and I don't know how we'll adjust it, but we're to be in Him. And we reside and live in Him by faith. I almost think we need to work on that song about being a living sacrifice for Him rather than a sanctuary, because we are not the temple of God. We're not the temple of the Holy Spirit in the sense of ourselves. Now, the church is the body of Christ. That we know. But something just struck me as we were singing that song. I wonder how many times people are expecting themselves to somehow be the residence of God. We reside in Him. We reside in Him by faith. I just think that's important to mention briefly.
On the rock, now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, you set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You're taking me from the miry clay, you set my feet upon the rock, now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. my Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you until the very end. I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
Good morning, everybody. So this week has been an interesting week for me. My mom got here last weekend. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing her here safely. My mother-in-law was over here during the week. And I was telling her about a gym that I wanted to join, but I couldn't join because they didn't have facilities for children, which would mean I couldn't take Naomi, which would mean I couldn't go because she's my responsibility and needs to go with me wherever I go. And her response was, "That's just an excuse, Sue." I was taken aback. Firstly, because she spoke the truth to me, and secondly, because she didn't sugarcoat it. She just said it like it was. And I was also angry because she didn't sugarcoat it and she just said it like it was. But I took a step back and thought about what she had said and questioned whether or not she was right. And she was. It was just an excuse, because if I really wanted it, I would have figured out a way to have. I would have even asked my husband if he would mind looking after Naomi for an hour while I go use the gym. And I know that he would have said yes. He would be fine with that. But I didn't ask him. I just assumed it wouldn't be okay, and I just used it as an excuse not to go. And it got me thinking about how many excuses we make. One of my favorite verses, as everyone probably is aware, is John 3, verse 20 and 21. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." So later on in the week, I was doing homeschooling with my daughter. She's 9. She's in 3rd grade doing math. She came upon a problem that she didn't know the answer to, so she asked me. And I looked at it, and I knew I'd seen it before. I knew I didn't know how to do it before. I knew I'd asked Rick for help on it before, and that I had understood it when he had helped me, and that I got it, I received it, then. But something between then and now had made it disappear from my brain, and I had a mental block, and my entire life towards mathematics has been a mental block. Had been a mental block. Just an overwhelming fear of numbers. I mean, it's so ridiculous, but that's what I had is an overwhelming fear of math, not being able to do it, not being able to succeed, not being able to understand it. So Rick took me in the bedroom and went through the math with me. And I mean, I think we must have been in there for at least half an hour discussing this stupid math problem that I really didn't get and I didn't want to get. But I didn't tell him I didn't want to get it. I kept saying, "I want to get it. I want to understand. I want. But what I wasn't telling him was how terrified I was of getting it. Because if I got it, that would mean that I'd have to remember it next time, etc. I mean, by the time he had explained it, and I understood what he was talking about, he said, you don't have to understand the problem. You have to know how to work it out and show your steps. That's all you need to do. You don't have to understand it. You just have to work out the steps, show the steps, and then that will prove that you understood it. Well, I thought he was a little loony, and I was very angry with him because how dare he tell me the truth, you know? I was so... Does he not understand how hard this is? No, obviously not, because he understands math. He loves math. This is easy for him. You know, all the self-justification of how he just cannot possibly understand my situation. Well, he went into the bathroom, closed the door, and I could hear him. I guess he was praying. He came out and he said, I love you, honey. It's going to be okay. And he left. I'm glad he left because I wasn't going to say it back. I was angry. So I went into the bathroom and I prayed and I told the Lord everything I was struggling with, all the emotion, all the lies that I'd received from the enemy over the years, all the excuses I'd made over the years, all the fears of what if I do get it, what if I don't. If I get it now, does that mean I'm then obliged to get the next thing? But I don't want to do this in the first place. So, you know, and then I said, okay, Lord, I'm done. I'm done fighting you. I'm done. I'm so sick of not understanding, of not receiving it, of fighting. I'm just so sick of it. So I'm done. I surrender. Please help me, because I know that in and of myself, teaching my third grade 9-year-old math, I am so utterly incapable of doing that by myself. But I know that with you, all things are possible, and I have people I can turn to for support, for help, for guidance, so that I can do this right. And I have my husband who showed me, so I know the way, the next step forward. So I came back in the office, wiped all my tears away, came back in the office, Naomi asked me if I was okay. I said, I'm fine. I said, why don't we do a few of these and see if we can remember how to do them? Because she had gotten it, like when I went into the bedroom with Rick, she'd already gotten the whole thing. She understood it. So we sat down and we did it together, and we did five of them, I think, four or five. I don't know. She's saying six. I don't remember. Nonetheless, we did a few of them.
Numbers.
And four, five, or six. We did a few of them, and we both got them right. And I was so excited because this is something I don't do. I don't do math. Well, now I do math. And now I can trust the Lord to move forward in the next step of math. It's not like I'm going, woohoo, I can't wait. But I am in a way because, well, if he taught me that, if he showed me that, if he's faithful enough to help me through that little thing. And believe me, I realize it is a little thing. But for me, it was like this giant hurdle. I just leapt right over it, and thank you, Jesus, for your guidance and your help in that. Because now I have the confidence to move forward in that. And I've been thinking about the chastening of the Lord, because Rick's correction to me, my mother overheard some of it from the living room, and he wasn't, oh, honey, it's okay. You'll be good. You'll be fine. No, he was like, if you choose to keep this attitude, you will never get through it. You can choose right now to change your attitude towards it, and it will change. Right, Mom? That's pretty much what he said. He didn't sugarcoat it. He wasn't playing nice. He was being truthful. And it hurt. And the pride and the self-righteousness and the justification rose up and got angry. Thankfully, the Lord brought me through that. And I was thinking about the scripture, John 3:20 and 21, and then Samuel, well, actually David. The thing that made David a man after God's own heart was that he repented before the Lord. He recognized he had sinned against the Lord. And he didn't blame anyone else. He didn't use excuses. He didn't say, well, that Bathsheba, man, she should never have been sunbathing up there. She knew that somebody could see her and it's her fault. No, he took the blame. He recognized it was his fault. So I want to read 2 Samuel 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. You can read the rest of the story. It's a pretty awesome story. But he said, I have sinned against the Lord. He didn't justify himself to Nathan. He didn't make excuses. He took accountability and responsibility for his choices and his actions. And the judgment that he was going to put on the man who Nathan told the story about, the Lord was more generous to him because he didn't kill him. Didn't mean there weren't consequences for his choices. There were very severe consequences. But the Lord spared him. And the testimony of David's life is an awesome one for us to see, to look to. And he's a man after God's own heart. When you fall, when you are caught, when the truth is brought before you and put in your face, like my mother-in-law did it to me, my husband did it to me. When it is put in your face, do you repent before the Lord or do you justify yourself?
Yeah, I remember being pulled aside early in our marriage, Sue, by my dad, and him telling me that if I continue doing what I'm doing, I'm going to drag us both to hell. Now, that's kind of a harsh statement to hear from your dad. I really wanted to tell him to go jump in a lake. I might have, actually. I don't remember. But the Lord did begin to show me that by not speaking truth to you, by trying to make you feel better, by loving you with philios over agape, that that's exactly what I was doing. And that manifests in all kinds of ways. And men do it continuously with their wives and their children and whatnot. If you're you have to, absolutely have to learn how to love with agape love. That has to be what drives you. Doesn't mean you can't have philios love. In a husband and wife, you need to have all three kinds of love. But the first love has to be agape. What is right has to come first. And in that whole situation, it wasn't about that you were getting math wrong. I could care less about the math. The thing was is that, you know, we homeschool because we believe that it's in our best interest of our daughter. Because what she would get in public school is so contrary. So unbelievably contrary to the Word of God. And really what it came down to in the heated part of our discussion was, if you're not going to, if you're telling me now you can't do this, then let's stop the facade, let's give up the game, and let's just put her in public school. And what I was thinking of is I would much rather have to deal with the nonsense that is so blatantly wrong in public school than to have to battle her learning how to live in unbelief from her mother. And that was really it. Is it because your actions and your attitude were 100% unbelief, pure unbelief, no faith in God? And, you know, I can deal with that, her coming back from public school. I mean, I went to public school and my mother, and look at me now, and my mother and I went to Christian school and oh my God. And my mother and my father, they dealt with that. Okay? They dealt with that. And it was easy to deal with it because it was such a stark difference between that which is correct and right and that which is wrong. It's so opposed to each other. To me, it was more dangerous to have her learning homeschooling here from a parent that wasn't going to walk by faith. Because then that teaches her to justify herself, to walk in unbelief, to live in that space, which is as contrary, yet more dangerously contrary than what you get out of the world. Amen. See, the thing is that if you decide to walk by faith, then what is there that's put in your way that you cannot overcome? Amen. There's nothing. And this is something that you learn, okay? There's scriptures in the Bible where Paul tells Timothy to remember the prophecies put before you. Stir up the gift. What is that? That's remembering all the things God's already done for you. See, if we spent time, forget about your failings. Brother Davey talked about that last week, amen? You know, why dwell on that? God's already covered it, taken it away. Why worry about tomorrow? Because that doesn't matter, right? Hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. See, fear is being concerned or fretting or worrying about something that hasn't even occurred yet. It's you're worrying about a phantom, a thing that is just, it's not real. It's just completely not real. But if you can remember all the miracles that God's performed, You know, the thing with the math was that I was trying to explain to Sue that you have this box of tools, you see? And when you see a particular problem, we haven't gotten to really formulas yet, but there's processes that apply. Like if you're subtracting a number and you've got a small number and you got a big number underneath it, you got to subtract, you got to carry the one from the other over to the thing. And if you guys know what I'm talking about, if you just didn't know that the process was where you borrow one from here, put it over there. And now if you didn't know the process, you just stare at it. But once you know the process, you say, oh, I know that process. I apply that process here. Now, why do you do that? Do you understand why? Well, maybe, maybe not. But I know that, all right, if I see that, this is the process. I don't need to understand it. Do you not flip on the light switch because you don't understand how electricity works? Do you not turn the key in the car because you don't understand how an internal combustion engine works and how the starter turns the flywheel, which rips the thing, and then the electricity happens? And no, we do things all the time, and we just do it because we just do it. We just take it as for fact that it's going to work. You see, and that's the way we can trust God in that. See, if you have faith, it's going to work. You see how that works? If you have faith, it's going to work. If you have unbelief, it's not going to work. Amen. See, if you start out with unbelief, you're already failed. This is the same. It's no different than when you were talking about, Sue, the whole going to the gym. You don't even need to go to the gym. You have a gym right here. We have a bicycle and we have a treadmill. We've had all kinds of equipment. Yeah, I'm breaking up going through a tunnel. We have all kinds of equipment right here at the house that is now clothes racks or ornaments in the living room or whatever they are. You don't need to go to the gym. You need to get up early and get your butt on an apparatus and do some exercise. We have a swimming pool. You can go swim and do your water aerobics. You have every possible facility. Yeah, but it's too cold, right? You have every possible facility to do that, which you say you want, but the truth is you don't want it. You don't want it. A man does what he wants to do and a woman does what she wants to do as well. These are just truths. And if you can accept that and wrestle yourself around to accept that and get rid of the self-justification, get rid of all the ox dung that your flesh tries to feed you, then you can get out of that space of unbelief and begin to walk in faith. And yeah, I left you in a bit of a stew when I walked out of the bedroom. And I said, look, then take her, forget it right now. Go put her in public school, because if you're not going to do this and walk by faith and trust God, then you have no business doing this. And I walked out of the room. And some may think, boy, that's harsh. Well, I don't care if it was harsh. I don't care. It was right. Amen. And I knew also by experience, give her 10 minutes and she's going to come around. That is my wife. My hope is that these episodes become less and less and less and less frequent.
Amen.
And that in those instances, that rather than go to that place of unbelief and doubt and I can't, and we all know that I can't means what? I won't. Rather than that, go into that toolbox. Just like when we were looking at the math, there's these tools you use to solve problems, and you see a thing, you say, oh, I know what fits that. You pick it out of the toolbox and you put it there, and there's your answer. It just works it out. You take the process that you know that works and applies, and you put it. And we have that with the Word. Did you know that?
Amen.
I mean, the Word of God is that toolbox. It is that armament, it's the sword of the Spirit, right? You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of wickedness in high places. The fight you were dealing with, Sue, wasn't about math. Math was not the problem.
No.
The problem was the enemy and yourself trying to get you to walk and stay in that place of self-justification and unbelief to destroy you. You see, he hates you with a cruel hatred. He hates you with a cruel hatred, and he will use anything he can to derail you, to destroy you, to dissuade you from having faith and trusting in God. Jesus says, in the world you'll have tribulation, right? But what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see, that's a tool in your toolbox, you see? See, when things get too hard and you think they're getting too much, wait a minute. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Are you in Christ? Well, guess what? There's another little piece in your toolbox. If you know God's word, then you know that by faith we are in him. By faith we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Do you see? You can reject those things that are contrary. You can reject that thing that looks so scary and so impossible. Last week we were talking about Brother Corey and what he went through. And the sermon I was talking about was God's miracles are not the exception, they're the rule. You see? The miracle, the power of God, that needs to be the rule in your life, not the exception. And the way you do that is by faith. And when you have faith, you're going to have obedience. They don't go one without the other. See, if you say you trust and believe in God, but yet you don't do what he asks you to do, then you really don't, you see? But if you really have trust and faith in God, then when he gives you those things to accomplish, you're going to do them. Why? Because you have faith and trust and belief in God. They asked Jesus, what do we have to do the works of God? Jesus says what? Believe on him who he has sent. That hasn't changed. Jesus tells his disciples that those that believe on him will do the works he does. Yea, far greater works shall they do. See, the power of God in your life should be the rule, not the exception. Today it's a math problem. Tomorrow it may be witnessing to the cashier. The next day it may be you're broke down on the side of the road, don't know what to do. Any of those things, they're all so temporary. And God is not. You see? Every time you walk, every time you open your eyes from waking up, there is a miracle waiting to happen. Just trust God. Have faith in God. How good did it feel, Sue? Not that we live in feelings, but how good did it feel to shed off that unbelief and see success in faith in God?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was exciting.
Yeah. And you can have that all the time.
And
the next time you run into a problem, have that experience. Go back to that experience and say, wait a minute, God didn't bring me here to fail. You want to talk about a golden nugget to hold on to? And you know, I was watching some MMA fights with Dad when we were there. And there was this one guy, Brazilian, there was fight this other dude. And boy, he got on him and he hooked up and he was not letting go. And he choked him out in the first round. I mean, he was on him and he was not getting shook off. He was on him and it was done. Well, that's how you got to hold on to those golden nuggets of God. You got to grab them. You got to hold on to them and you let nothing shake you off of them. And the truth is that God hasn't brought you here to fail. He hasn't given you a daughter to fail at her raising her. He hasn't made you a wife so you could be a pitiful wife. He gave you those so you could be successful in them and grow in them and learn about him in the process.
Amen.
You know, Mom Joan, you're in South Africa. He hasn't had you there doing what you're doing so you could fail at it. He's had you there so you could learn to trust him and have success and have grow in faith and minister to all those people. I mean, imagine, guys, if you had the opportunity to be a missionary, all expenses paid. That's a good deal, right? Well, that's what you have, is it not? I mean, you got all expenses paid, missionary opportunity. You got no job, but you're getting paid. Right? You got a place to live. You got food on the table. You got, you know, electricity. You got internet. Oh my goodness. You got it like good. And all you got to do is serve God. I know a lot of people that would love to have that. I think in times past, you may have seen your situation as a detriment, but I hope you see it as the blessing and gift of God that it is. And it's all about perspective. Do you see God as a benevolent, loving, caring, good God? Or do you see him as the opposite of that? See, if you really see him as a caring, good, benevolent, loving God, then these circumstances that come up, you're going to have a different attitude about him. Maybe not initially. I mean, that first sort of knee-jerk reaction, that's what you got to sort of put off. You know, you got to put your foot on that and say, time out. I know that's wrong. I know this is right. And that's just an act of your will, right? Because that nature is still there. When I want to do good, evil is present with me, right? But I thank God, right? Through my mind, I serve the law of God. With my flesh, the law of sin. You know, the struggle you're dealing with is not a unique to you struggle. Paul the Apostle struggled with it. And he came to grips with it. He says, I'm not going to concern myself with the flesh. So let it have its knee jerk. Who cares? Put your foot on it and be done with it. Move on. God's grace is big enough for that. Covers that. Takes care of that. Washes that away. It's gone. Blots out the handwriting of ordinances against you. You set your affection on things above. You set your mind on doing the things of God, which is just having faith, trusting God. Then where's the struggle? You know, then what the enemy throws at you is just another opportunity for God to work a miracle. I bet you he thought he was, you know, he's got him now. He's got him up against the Red Sea and he's got Pharaoh coming. Oh, we got him now. Nope. That worked against you there, didn't it? You got him on the, we got him on the cross. We got him now. 3 days later, not so much. He said, oh crap. That might have been a faux pas. I get that there are things we look at that just look like, how are we going to do that? I struggle with it. I look at things, people say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, you got to do this, you got to do that. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not going to work. But that's unbelief, right? It's not right. So now I go, okay, don't know how that's going to work, but I'm game. Lord, what do you need me to do? How do we get there? I see the end point, I see no road. I see a cavern. And I don't fly. So something's got to happen here. I got to sprout wings or mysteriously take a step and little metal discs pop up where I can walk on. They got to be pretty substantial because I'm a heavy, fat fellow. But really, that's how I get there. That's his responsibility. It's not mine. And I'm good with that. I'm not good, but you guys know what I'm saying. I'm okay with that. He's just proven himself over and over and over and over and over in my life, hundreds and probably thousands of times. So I have no space to doubt his hand is able to accomplish what he's put before me. Now, David is a great example, Sue. And that contrast that you read about is one I come back to a lot, because Saul, even though he received a new heart from God. Go back and read Saul. He had, you talk about every possible single opportunity to get it right. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, the last straw was really the last straw. There had been many straws before that, guys. But when the prophet came, said, "What is this bleeding of sheep I hear?" And he went off and justified himself. That was it. That was it. David, I have sinned against God. And there was consequence, but there was also redemption. Even with that relationship, there was redemption. We serve a good God. Amen. We serve a good God. You know, resolve yourself. Choose to trust Him. Choose to have faith in Him. Choose to believe Him. Amen.
Lord, You're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when Your eyes are on this child, Your grace abounds to me. Lord, You're beautiful. Your face is all I see. Child, Your grace abounds to me. Lord, You're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when Your eyes are on this child, Your grace abounds to me. Your grace abounds to me. Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Me not away from Thy presence, O Lord. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me all the joy of Thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Thank you all for joining us today. May the Lord bless you today.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.